I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. My message today will be a topical message, and this will be the first passage that you'd be desirous to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I offer you a few lines from a speech by Jesse Brown, who was Secretary of Veteran Affairs in 1996. In his speech, Observations on Memorial Day, 1996, in part he said this: "The freedoms that so many Americans enjoy did not come cheaply. They were paid for with the flesh and blood of American servicemen and women, and with the tears of those whose lives were changed forever by the loss of a loved one. Memorial Day is a day of opportunity to give thanks for all that we are blessed with. It should also be a day that we rededicate ourselves to our country and to America's living veterans and their families in memory of the sacrifices they and others have made." These brief words remind us of the necessity to recognize the great sacrifice of others in our behalf, acknowledging that the freedoms we richly enjoy did not come cheap, and exhorting us to be thankful for the liberty which has been provided. As Americans, we should keep these things in mind and be responsible citizens. Now I offer a few verses of Scripture where the Apostle Paul instructs the church of Corinth regarding the Lord's Supper. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23 through verse 26, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Notice, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it," notice again, "in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show." The word show means to announce or to proclaim. It is to celebrate. "You do show the Lord's death till he come." These brief words remind us that through the observance of the Lord's Supper, we recognize the great sacrifice of Jesus in our behalf, acknowledging that the spiritual liberty which we richly enjoy came at a very high price, and exhorting us to be thankful for the salvation which has been provided. As Christians, we should always keep these things in mind and be responsible children of God. This Memorial Day, as we remember those who gave up so much for our national freedom, let us also remember the Son of God who gave his all for our spiritual freedom. I take my title from the passage in 1 Corinthians, and the title I have offered this message is "In Remembrance of Him." In remembrance of Him. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your blessings upon our country, the freedoms and the liberty which we have. And we know it comes at great cost. Lord, let us never be, Lord, taking that for granted. Yet, Lord, we see that some of these liberties slipping away now, and we pray that you would overturn that. We pray that you'd send revival to our land. And Father, I pray that you protect our country. And Lord, we pray now that as we look into your word, that you would direct our hearts and help us to learn, help us to grow. Let us be reminded of Jesus and always keep him in mind as what he has accomplished for us. We pray especially for the sinner that they may know what he has done. And we pray that you would convict them and draw them to yourself that they might be saved even today. So Lord, help us as we look into your word that we would always be mindful of him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In remembrance of him is the title of the message. I just would like to offer you a biblical description about that which Jesus Christ has done for us. In doing so, there are three things I would like for you to keep in mind, which we will elaborate upon a little bit later on. These points to bear in mind are, number one, remember His sacrifice. Number two, remember His substitution. And number three, remember the salvation He provided. Keep these things in mind. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Verses for us to consider today when we think about Jesus Christ. We want you to remember Him. Romans, chapter 5, and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to remember Him, the first thing I point out to you, there are so many things, of course, but when we think about the sacrifice and the provision which He has made, it begins with His death, doesn't it? He died for us. Twice we found here in the book of Romans, chapter 5, very closely connected. He died for us. He died for the ungodly. And so over in the book of Luke, chapter 23, don't turn over there, but in verse 46, we read in the account of His passion, His suffering, and His dying on the cross. It says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Jesus died. He died for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would please turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one verse over there. And this is in the verse that we're going to look at, which is verse 3, is within the formula, if you will, for the gospel. But notice what he says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And so when we think about Jesus and we think about His death, we think about why in the world did He die? He died for our sins. Aren't you glad for that? Because you should be happy about that, because you're a sinner, my friend. All has sinned and come short of the glory of God. He died for our sins. I would remind you, and I'm just going to look at a few passages, and you'll save not having to turn. Stay there in 1 Corinthians, but in Mark chapter 10 and in verse 45, the Lord Jesus Christ made a statement, and He said this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He didn't have any sins, so He didn't die for His own, but He died for our sins. He didn't come for Himself. He came for us. Just as it expresses of in John chapter 10, listen, if you will, to verse 11. As a shepherd would sacrifice for his own sheep, He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Christ died, but He died for our sins. In chapter 15 of the book of John, and in verse 13, He says over there, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And once again, over in 1 John, and in chapter 3, and in verse 16, I read, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What do we find here? Just as we think about the veterans who gave up their lives so that we might have liberty, Jesus Christ died, and He died for our sins. It wasn't for Himself. It was for others. Jesus Christ died. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Still in our biblical description of this one, I want you to remember today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. What did Jesus do? He died for our sins so that we might live. We might have life. Back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In doing so, what Christ provided for us, and there's many ways that I could have gone, and I could elaborate for a great length of time on all these, but I've chosen just to remind you about the fact of our reconciliation. We can be made right with God. Things can be put back into the right place, if you will. Reconciled or reconciliation. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, notice, by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." How is it that our sins have been forgiven? It was through the death of His Son. And by that death, we can be reconciled. We're put back right with God. And so Christ died for our sins so that we might be lived, that we might be reconciled. Again, another verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I forewarned you that this was a topical message, and such is the nature of the beast. You just need to turn to a few of these places. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 10. Paul writes and he says about that grace and purpose that God provided for us through Jesus Christ. He says, "But this grace and purpose is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." Look what happened. "Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Christ died. He died for our sins that we might live, that we can be reconciled before God. Death is abolished and we can receive life. Listen, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I read in verse 10 where he says that Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And when we think about this country, we think about the liberty that we have and the freedom that we have and the life which we can live. My dear friend, as a sinner, think of the life that you can have and the liberty that is there and is available through Jesus Christ. That you can be forgiven of sin because of what He has done. Oh, what a joy it is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, if you would. The first part of the first verse, all this meaning and coming together, we can just summarize it this way, if you will. Galatians 5, 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." You know, dear Christian, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were in bondage. You were enslaved to the devil. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through His great provision and through the grace of God and by His mercy, He saved you, gave you eternal life. Not only do you live, not only do you have you're put back into right with God, you're reconciled, but you realize you have liberty, spiritual liberty. Christ has set you free, free from the bondage of sin and free from the bondage of the devil. Freedom, my friend, liberty, that's what we have, spiritual liberty. And so these verses are intended to give you just a general biblical description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we find is that Jesus has done something for us. And what did He do? He died for our sins that we might have life, being reconciled to God and possessing spiritual liberty. That's what He has done. And I submit unto you with that foundation. Remember those three points I asked you to keep in mind that I would elaborate upon? This is what we shall do. And I'm going to offer you other verse references to support this information. We therefore, based on this description, should, number one, remember His sacrifice. We read within those verses that He gave up His life. He died for us. He sacrificed Himself. A few references, Ephesians chapter 5. Turn over to Ephesians 5. And I want you to understand that when I use the word sacrifice, because I think about the veterans who sacrifice, we have police officers who sacrifice their lives, we have people who sacrifice in our stead, and all kinds of sacrifices take place. And that's exactly true. There's nothing wrong with that term. They sacrificed. We read it in the quote earlier. Great sacrifice has been made. But the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a matter of His sacrifice, but it also is an implication and a fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifices. When we read in the Scriptures where John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world," we understand that lambs were offered up as sacrifice. And the Jews understood this. And so when we read these verses, we see that He was a sacrifice for us. You have to picture in your mind then, not just that He gave up His life, but you picture the Old Testament sacrifices, the lamb that was slain and the blood that was shed so that sin could be propitiated or that sin could be covered by that blood. So keep that in mind as you see these words, the word sacrifice in these verses. Ephesians chapter 5, as I want you to remember His sacrifice, Ephesians 5 verse 2, He says that we ought to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7. And these next verses are very close to each other. This will help you. Hebrews chapter 7. Remember His sacrifice. Verse 27 said, "Who," as a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, "needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins, and then for the people's. For this He did once when He offered up," who? Himself. Jesus Christ offered up Himself. The parallel there is to those priests who offered up those sacrifices on a continual basis, offering up blood that can never take away sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ. He offered up Himself. He was the sacrifice. Chapter 9, book of Hebrews. Chapter 9, verse 26. Again, making a quick reference to the Old Testament way of worship and the priests offering up sacrifices. He said, "For then must He have often suffered since the foundation of the world," but notice the statement, "but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Chapter 10, verse 12, Hebrews 10, 12. "But this man, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, says, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And if you remember what took place in the Passover back in Egypt, where the death angel was going to come at the 10th plague, and God commanded the children of Israel to take a sacrifice, take the blood and put it on the doorpost and across the top. And when the angel came down, He says, "I'll see the blood and pass. I will pass over you." And we have a reference about Jesus Christ being a sacrifice. He's a sacrifice. He's sacrificed. And Paul says, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Are you thankful for the freedom you have as an American? Are you thankful for people who gave up their lives? They sacrificed for you and for me that we might have freedom? And all so much more should we remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up Himself so that we might have spiritual freedom. I submit unto you today that we ought to remember His sacrifice. Still in Hebrews, go a few pages over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Secondly, I would offer unto you that you should remember His substitution. Remember His substitution. This is an important doctrine for us, for those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because not only did He die, but He died in my place. He suffered what I should suffer. Now, I recognize that our military personnel, as they go across the seas and around the world, and they die in my stead. Well, what it is in order to have freedom, I would need to go to secure the freedom, but they are dying in my place. There's a bit of a substitution there, but not like what we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I think about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and I read about how He died for our sins, we have truly a genuine substitution. And so I've asked you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, just a few verses that bears this out. He suffered what I should have suffered. 1 Peter 2:24, we read, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." What happened to my sin? He were nailed on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore our sins in His own body, in His own body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul expresses this to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse 21, he says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." God the Father made the Son to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Look at the verse. "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Christ didn't know any sin, but He became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We just read in 1 Peter that our sins were nailed with Him. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. Very simply, the way I understand it, as you turn to Galatians chapter 3, Jesus, who never sinned, became a sinner in my place, if you will, because He bore the penalty of sin as He hung there on the cross. Now, that's important. Substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Christ, when He hung there on the cross, became my curse that I might have eternal life. Not only did He die for our sins, I mean, He took my place. Substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to the book of Isaiah, very classic reference, but Isaiah chapter 53. "And I submit unto you, my friend," at least this is the way I think of it, "I think He took the penalty of hell upon Himself as He hung there on the cross. And all the penalty of sin that I would have ever experienced throughout eternity, He bore while He hung on the cross." Now, I don't understand all that, and I can't explain all that. I do recognize the passage says that God looked down, saw the travail of His soul, and was satisfied. That's a little later on in our Isaiah 53. We'll not read that verse, but Jesus Christ took my place. It's what I deserved. He became my substitute. This classic passage, one last verse in regard to this substitution. Isaiah 53, verse 4. "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." What do you find as you turn to the book of Romans chapter 1? What do you find here? Yes, we are reminded of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He gave His life so that we might live. But in doing so, we are reminded of His substitution. It's just not something He procured, but He actually took our place. Substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think about Him today, I want you to remember His sacrifice, and I want you to remember His substitution. But let's look at that third and final point. I would like you to remember the salvation which He has provided. As we read in that general biblical description, He provided deliverance for me. He provided deliverance for you. And He gave us spiritual freedom and a home in heaven. Our military personnel has sacrificed for the last 200 plus years so that we might live free. And Jesus Christ gave up His life so that I can live free. Think of the salvation which God has given to you. And dear sinner, you don't understand that statement, but I offer you to reflect upon the provision which Christ has made and His sacrifice and His substitution and the salvation that we have that you can have as well. Would you repent and believe on the Lord while you have opportunity? But think of it, dear Christian friend. Salvation. I have a home in heaven. He changed my life forever. Romans chapter 1, where I've invited you to turn, just a few verse references and proof of this. Paul writes and he says, "For I am not ashamed." Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and risen again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said that gospel was the power of God unto salvation. And I am saved today, not by any works of my own, not by any merit of which I have achieved, not by the membership of my being a member of this church or being baptized or any kind of act or deed that I have done. My friend, I am saved today. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for me. He was buried. He rose again, and He saved me. I have liberty. I have life. I have freedom. I have a future in heaven. Why? Because of what Christ has done. And He's given me eternal life. I am saved. Acts chapter 4, if you'd go back there. Acts chapter 4, a familiar passage that I quote to you all the time. I would remind you once again in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I'm telling you today, absolutely, wholeheartedly, specifically, Jesus alone is the Savior. He is the only one that gives eternal life. There is no other God or goddess. My friend, He is God, and He gives us life. Their salvation is not found in any other. It's not found in yourself. It's not found in any other religion. It's found in Jesus Christ. And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ alone is the Savior. And why was it that He could be the Savior? Well, through the plan and purpose of God, He became a sacrifice and a substitute. That's how that works. And so I can have eternal life. I have salvation. And so if you go over to chapter 13 of the book of Acts, Paul said later in his preaching, I like this passage because it's so clear. And yet so many people are messed up today, even among professing Christians. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," it's a reference to Jesus, "through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." You are a sinner, and you're under judgment and wrath of God. How are you to be forgiven of those sins? "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins," verse 39, "and by him all that believe are justified," or declared righteous, "from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." How is it you have freedom today? How is it that you have liberty? How come you have eternal life? It's because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and His substitution, and He provided you salvation. Oh, what joy that ought to bring to your heart, dear Christian friend. You should never, ever forget what He has done for you. I read in the Scriptures, and I invite you to turn to Philippians 3. I read in the Scriptures where some people tend to forget that they've been purged from their old sins, and what a tragedy that is. Let us not forget. As we should not forget the servicemen and women who gave up their lives so that we might have national freedom, let us not forget Jesus Christ. Let us not forget the salvation we have in Him. Remember the salvation He provided. Four references and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I just want to remind you, these verses will tell us basically the same thing. But Jesus is the Savior and is defined as such in the Scriptures. Philippians 3:20 says, For our conversation or our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the Savior? It is Jesus, isn't it? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And in verse 13, what do we read over here? We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Few more pages over, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 And in verse 18, that last verse of that book says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Last verse, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Remember the salvation He provided. In conclusion then, a few things to keep in memoriam. Number one, He died in our behalf. Number two, He did so though we were unworthy. By the way, you didn't earn it or deserve it. It's not like He's so great I can't let Him go to hell. Absolutely unworthy, yet He died for us. Wow. Number three, He did what we could not do. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't pay for the sin, but He could. And He did. Number four, it took personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice. That's what we think of in connection with this holiday, the personal sacrifice. And yet when we think about spiritual liberty, we must think about His personal sacrifice. And so we know, number five, that He paid the ultimate price. He left His throne in heaven, laid aside His glory, came to this earth, took Himself a human body, and He died. And He died. And He died for me, that I might have eternal life. Personal sacrifice. He paid the ultimate price so that I might live. And so I submit unto you, dear sinner, may you be moved to respond in repentance and faith. May you hear these things. May you be touched to your soul. And may you receive Christ as Lord and Savior. He alone can give you eternal life. And then, Christian, we ought to be responsible children of God, shouldn't we? That means we should recognize His labor, know what He has done. We should respect Him. Excuse me. You see, some of the military, especially back in the Vietnam generation, they weren't respected, were they? They were over there giving their lives. They came back. Our country rejected them. Not respect. We ought to recognize the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ and always respect Him. We should respond to Him in service. As He has called us, He has saved us, we ought to respond to Him. I think we also should react like Him. He's our Lord and Savior. We ought to live like Him. We should do as He would have us to do. Live the way we ought to live. But then I submit, finally, that we should remember Him. Have you forgotten that you've been purged from your old sins? Has that slipped from your memory? Peter talks about that. In remembrance of Him, we ought to memorialize. We ought to give glory to. We should never, ever forget our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sacrifice which He has made. Substitutionary death that He accomplished and the salvation that He has given unto us. VFW paid tribute back in 2002 at Memorial Day. Part of that speech says, "Why remember? Sacrifice is meaningless without remembrance. America's collective consciousness demands that all citizens be aware of and recall on special occasions the death of their fellow countrymen during wartime. Far too often, the nation as a whole takes for granted the freedoms all Americans enjoy. Those freedoms were paid for with the lives of others few of us actually knew. That's why they are all collectively remembered on one special day." And I submit unto you, may we not take our national freedom for granted. So thank you, veterans. But more importantly, let us not take our spiritual freedom for granted. A freedom paid for the Son of God. And every Sunday, ought to be a memorial day. Every Sunday should be in remembrance of Him. So I trust that you've been reminded of Christ today, the sacrifice that He has made, the salvation He's given to you, that, Christian, you'd be stirred in your heart to never forget and to be responsible children of God, and, sinner, that you would see the sacrifice that Christ has made so that you might be saved. Would you repent and believe? I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is, right where you are, as God convicts you, draws you, that you might be saved, Christian, you might be encouraged and reminded and respond well to Christ. Father, bless your word and move in every heart as only you can, saving the lost and strengthening the saved, and we give you the glory for it. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen. What number did you choose, Brother Paul? 500.